Thank you, Nan. I am more than confused. I'm still confused. When I started to read this passage, I thought, world hates us. I can't understand it. But one minute we're talking of love, and then we're talking about hate. And then something came flooding back to me. It was, you can please some of the people all of the time. You can please all of the people some of the time, but you can't please all of the people all of the time. This phrase has been quoted many times by different people in many ways, different variations, such as Abraham Lincoln in the 1800s, a comedian Mitch Hedberg, stand-up comedian in the 20th century. But if I wonder if any of you know where the origin of that phrase first came from. A great show of hands. Fantastic. Well, you may be surprised to know that it was a monk and poet, John Lydgate. He lived from 1370 to 1450. The first thing that struck me was not that it was 600 years ago, that he lived for 80 years, when the average age was 24 during the 13 to 1400s. So, maybe it was his wisdom that gave him long life. Wise indeed, as it was a phrase that stayed with me for many years without knowing where it came from and its origin, before really understanding the many lessons that we have in Scripture. So as a child, I would often worry why some people didn't like me, and some would just put up with me, or many would completely dislike me. Oh, don't worry about it, my parents would say. They're only jealous. I just think to myself, jealous? Why? I've got nothing for people to be jealous of. But it wasn't until I left school and went into an industrial context that I started to understand a little more. It was when a wise man of retirement age came to me and I understood how people ticked. I asked him what I'd done or what I'd said wrong, why some of those who were training me disliked me. Don't worry, lad. You can't please all the people all the time. That's what he said to me. As it turned out, they didn't dislike me. They just didn't like training people. But those words changed my anxiety, and I did try to stop being a pleasing puppy all the time. So we come to our reading today and find out that the world hates us. What have we done to deserve this? That's what the disciples must have been thinking. Hold on a minute. Jesus was saying that they hated him first. It must have been so confusing for them, because if we go back in verses 9 to 17 of chapter 15, Jesus tells them about the greatest command, love. He even alludes to his own death by saying that no one has a greater love than this, and to lay down one's life for their friends. So Jesus' love for us and all is his sacrifice upon that cross. That was the greatest love. Sins died once and for all. Then in verse 17, the greatest command of all, this is my command to you, love one another. Well, surely if we love one another, why then would the world hate us? You can please some other people. Not all the time. You can please all the people some of the time, as the phrase goes on. So Jesus comes to town with all manner of things start to happen. Miracles, the turning over of the tables in the temple. How vocal was he about how we should read scriptures? Turning things on their head. And the scribes and the Pharisees, well, they just didn't like it. What was this particular Jew doing? Especially mixing with, dare we say it, Gentiles, as well as tax collectors, thieves, and the unclean. Imagine this at the time of Jesus' ministry as one of the early stages of equality. He didn't mind what side of the street you came from. Jesus loved you regardless. His greatest command to love all was what was important. Hypocrites he had no time for. And some of the lawmakers of the day he had no respect for. didn't mean that he didn't love them. The Jews and the Gentiles really didn't see eye to eye either. And for a Jew to criticize the Jewish authority and then inform them that he was the Messiah that they'd been waiting for, well, you can imagine. Well, a big stick had certainly been poked into the hornet's nest. So we need to understand why some of the hatred that was around and aimed at Jesus and those Jews and Gentiles who were seen as the Jesus followers. And I love looking through commentaries to learn about the context of the time. I came across this 1970s theologian, William Barclay. He wrote, when John wrote, this hatred had long since begun. Tacitus spoke of the people hated for their crimes, whom the mob call Christians. Suetonius had spoken of a race of men who belonged to a new and evil superstition. Why was this hatred so virulent? Well, Tacitus, he was a Roman historian and politician. So that says a lot first off, doesn't it? Politician at the end of there. And Suetonius, also a historian. His full name, Gaius Suetonius Tranquillus. However, there was nothing tranquil about his hatred regarding the Christians. Roman rule was in place, and the time was the worship for one only, and that was the worship of Caesar. The governments persecuted the Christians because they insisted they had no king but Christ. They put Christ first. So the persecution of the Christians came their way. So when Jesus said to his disciples, if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. He knew too well that there would always be those who could not accept the truth or even accept the love of all. Jesus was well aware of the hatred that the disciples would be subject to, and he was making them fully aware of the consequences. Many would be after them and their followers for following Christ and spreading the good news. But this is what God wants for us, and why he sent his son to share the message, this message of love. Have we listened over time? Sadly not. Christians continue to be persecuted around the world, and there's a rise at the moment in Nigeria. The Nigerian Christians are being persecuted. Earlier this month, 40 worshippers were killed in a church in Ondo, in the southwest of the country. In May, a Methodist leader was kidnapped and two Catholic priests. India, 2021, there was a sharp increase against Christians, and at least 9 states plans to bring in anti-conversion laws. Can you believe it? And we've all seen and heard of the attacks in France over the past years, and those attacks, although not published, still continue today. Sadly, it continues also in Jerusalem, year after year, day after day. But Jesus asks us to continue in the faith. At the end of the reading today, he tells us of those who do not belong to this world. This world is now the world of Christ, that of justice, of walking in God's grace, doing the right thing, of living in his love. But we are to be careful not to be dragged back. We have to be careful not to be dragged back into that time where we are seen as the evil ones. We must not be overtaken by the evil one. And we must continue to live in the love of Christ, but walk side by side with those who don't see the love of God. We must learn to guide them and not become one of them. We're not to banish them from this world, but we are to love them. It's a hard journey, but I'm sure each and every one of us in this church knows of the love of God and even for those who we cannot get on with, those who we want to walk past day after day, we can turn to them and say, "Hello, how are you?" And maybe they will see the love that shines from us and change their life, and they can walk with Christ. Amen.